It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We have liftoff. Not the way we expected or wanted back before we'd heard of COVID-19, but we have baseball ready to go on July 24th, the anniversary of the Veritech A-Rod Brawl. How perfect is that? What'll it all look like? How's it going to go? Who the hell knows? But at least we have a season, and we get to flip a time-worn cliche on its head. It's a sprint, not a marathon, as it turns out. Josh Lewin with you. Welcome to Red Sox Beat here at CLNS. This is episode 261, the career Red Sox batting average of the great Bernie Carbo. And I like having some fun with matching the episode numbers with Red Sox stuff. I did that today just because bringing up the name Bernie Carbo just from out of nowhere, it reminds you of why baseball is so awesome. There's stories about everybody. We're going to get into Joe Castiglione's mind later in the broadcast, speaking of which. You talk about a guy with stories. But Bernie Carbo, man, sold to the Indians in 78, right? Prompted the one-game walkout by the spaceman, Bill Lee. But yeah, career 261 Red Sox hitter. Had the two pinch hit home runs in the 75 World Series. The stuffed monkey, Mighty Joe Young, very well known. We could do a whole podcast on Bernie Carbo. The point is, we now have actual baseball to talk about again, and it is a thrill. We need some comfort food, right? We got some. Hey, by the way, kudos to you guys who have been hanging out, figuring out what else to do. No shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, Bet Online Sports. As we're all kind of making our way back here, UFC, NASCAR, soccer got out in front of baseball, and we could do another podcast on that, why baseball dropped the ball. But we're talking Bet Online right now with all the best odds and lines for the upcoming things this weekend, like soccer. They've got simulated stuff that might be of interest to you as well. And if you're looking for something other than sports, Bet Online has hundreds of live casino games and poker tournaments, all the best props in the business. So go to betonline.ag. Use your mobile device, join now to receive your new welcome bonus. Start playing today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, Red Sox players have been returning to Boston the last few days, and most of them scheduled for COVID-19 tests midweek. The first workout is going to be Friday at Fenway. Let's do a little organization of all this here. Teams can draw from a 60-player pool. That'll be the rule this year. And the Sox right now aren't even at 50. They're going to add several as they go here, including a guy like Jonathan Lucroy. They're just redoing his contract. But for now, yeah, teams are leaving spots open to just kind of retain that ability to add as they see fit. You've got waiver claims, free agency before the season starts officially on July 23rd. Sox will use Fenway as their primary training site. Some players will go out to Boston College to work out too, social distancing and all. And at some point before the season, players taken off the actual big camp roster, they can go work out at McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket. So we're looking at the initial roster of the Red Sox. The only healthy players not included, really, were Johan Ibar and the outfielder Marcus Wilson. All the other 40-man guys are around. Utility guys like Yairo Munoz, the former Cardinal, is part of the group. You look at guys like Colton Brewer and Josh Osich. I mean, just names we're going to have to know this year. We got used to the Colton Brewer experience last year. Now guys like Osich and Chris Mazza, Jeffrey Springs. We only have a few weeks to get to know who these people are. Teams will have 30 players for the first 2 weeks, 28 for 2 weeks after that. Then it gets shaved down to 26. You know, a chance to see a Bobby Dalbec this year, I think, will be great. You know, he's a 40-man guy, and he might very well make his big league debut this year. Let's walk you through the roster as we have it. 24 pitchers right now. We know about Eovaldi and Martin Perez and Eduardo Rodriguez. Those are really the only three true starters that were obvious from word go, and they're going to be relied on a lot. But beyond that, I mean, kind of mixing and matching in out of the bullpen, Matt Barnes, Brandon Workman, Darwin Zinner Hernandez, Josh Taylor, Ryan Brazier, Marcus Walden, Heath Hembree is still around. Ryan Weber could be an important piece, kind of that chess piece that can go backwards and forwards for you. Colin McHugh, if he's healthy, that could be a good add in that regard as well. I think in a normal season, that's just your bullpen, anchored by Barnes and Workman with Taylor and Hernandez as your setup guys. McHugh as a hybrid starter, I think, is a really important add. No question about it. You've got extra arms, too, like Colton Brewer. Brian Johnson's still around. Austin Bryce is here. Matt Hall, Kyle Hart. Mentioned Mazza and Osich. Mike Schworn is still around, and hopefully he's gotten a little better. Jeffrey Springs, the former Met prospect. Domingo Tapia, Phillips Valdez. So that's the group where expanded roster kind of comes into play, because in a normal season, you might see a couple of those arms called up, especially with Chaim Bloom, now the GM, running people up and down like you did with Tampa Bay and Durham for all those years. Catchers, by the way, that's going to be an important depth position. Of course, it's Christian Vasquez. You've got Kevin Plawecki. Eventually, Luke Roy, you figure. Right now, Jet Bandy, Juan Centeno, and the prospect Connor Wong. So, in theory, you could have half a dozen catchers running around here. And that's important, too. Bandy and Centeno, they were in big league spring training. They were kind of obvious additions. I think Wong's presence on the roster is notable. Part of the Mookie Betts, David Price trade with the Dodgers. He's still in development, as they say, but he's a talented kid. Infielders, you know who the starters are, right? Moreland at first, and it looks like Jose Peraza at second. Xander Bogaerts at short, Devers at third. That left side of the infield is awesome. Depth pieces, Michael Chavis, of course. Marco Hernandez is still around. Zue Lin is still around. Mentioned Yairo Munoz. Jonathan Araúz. Got to learn how to pronounce and spell that one. CJ Chatham, we mentioned Dahlbeck. Chavis could split some time at first with Moreland, work into second base with Peraza. That's going to be interesting to see how they sort all that out. Outfield, you know the starters. It's Benintendi, Bradley, Alex Verdugo, who has said he's fully recovered from the back injury. Of course, he pretty much missed all his spring training because of that thing. You've got Kevin Pillar in as well. J.D. Martinez, technically listed as an outfielder. Cesar Pollo is around, a long-time AAA kind of guy, bounces around everywhere. John Andreoli, a native New Englander. And, yeah, Martinez will obviously DH most days. There's no reason he can't play all 60 games this year. We should point out guys like Jeter Downs, Brian Mata, Tanner Houck, Jaron Duran, Jay Groom, Josh Ockamy. I mean, those guys could be added. There's no reason they can't be, because there are still 13 spots available right now. A couple guys to keep an eye on that have no major league experience, but you might see at some point. Kyle Hart, this kid's got a really good slider at a 3.13 ERA in 77 minor league games into this year. Of course, Bobby Dahlbeck, you guys have probably heard about him, 25th birthday Monday, so he's not exactly 21 or 22 here. I mean, it's about the time he should get going. Mike Trout was a two-time All-Star by the age of 25, for example. But right-handed slugger, I know he's not going to be Mike Trout, but 59 homers, 54 doubles the last 2 years, that's not bad, and he's the number two prospect in the system. C.J. Chatham is 25, too, was named the best pure hitter in the Red Sox system by Jim Callis recently, MLB.com. They've got him ranked number 12 overall in the system. About a 300 hitter in the minors. I mean, that's mostly double-A, a little bit of triple-A. So there are some reasons to think that a lot of these kind of guys will get some time, but there's also reason to think that if everybody stays healthy, it's going to be guys like Jackie Bradley Jr. stepping out, right? Nate Eovaldi stepping out. Mitch Moreland has got to step out. Those guys, because we're banking on Devers being Devers and Bogaerts being Bogaerts. Look, Bradley's one of the best center fielders in the game. Never a debate about how just completely platinum he is out there in the outfield. But he's a career 236 hitter, and he's 30 years old now. In a 60-game season, that well-documented streaky nature of Jackie Bradley Jr., maybe that helps him out. I mean, he had a 29-game hitting streak a few years ago. That's about a half of the year this year. So if he gets hot for just a month, I mean, that could make Jackie Bradley Jr. a very rich man in 2021. Nate Eovaldi, I mean, a 60-game season would be perfect for a guy like Nate Eovaldi with this long injury history that he's got. He looked like about the best pitcher out there in spring training before things shut down. And with no Chris Sale this year, Nate Eovaldi, a very important piece for a short sprint here. And Mitch Moreland, he's a guy that looked around in free agency, decided to re-sign with the Red Sox, just a one-year deal, kind of a show me what you still got kind of thing. And he was huge at the start of last year. Remember that? He had 13 homers in April and May before the injury bug started to bite him. If he can stay healthy, and he shouldn't get worn down, you know, with 60 games, we're not talking 162, we're talking 60. There's good and bad of a shortened season. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. After we remind you about the best way to drop that unwanted weight. Got one more thing to tell you here before we get cruising with Joe Castiglione, who does not need to lose weight. He's in amazing shape for a guy in his 70s. But when most people try to lose weight, they think exercise, which Joe does, by the way. And whether they actually start exercising or not, the results are normally kind of the same either way. So it's more about nutrition, right? I'm sure you've heard that. With Awaken 180 Weight Loss, you get that customized nutrition plan, the weekly one-on-one coaching. That's the difference. And the option to receive 80% of your daily foods to help you lose the weight your first week and each week after until you're down to what's ideal for you. You're going to be gaining the tools to know what and how to eat so you can keep the weight off for the long term. None of this on-again, off-again stuff. And as always, they provide you free support for life. It's worked for Cedric Maxwell and Scott Zolak and so many others. Maybe your turn to call now. It's the long-term solution for weight loss and the official weight loss program of the Red Sox. Just check them out online. Don't even have to call. Just go online right now. Awaken180weightloss.online. Online is awaken180weightloss.com. Don't say dot online. That's silly. Obviously, you know it's a dot com. Awaken180weightloss.com. There. That's why I make the big bucks doing podcast reads. All right. So before we get to Joe, the good and the bad of a short season that I mentioned, let's start with the good. I'm going to try to keep this on an upbeat here. You've got, and I'm talking about across the board, not just for the Red Sox, but the de-emphasis of traditional starting pitching, that was kind of in play anyway. If you know how to do that, you don't have to have your starters stretched way out this year, not the first, say, 4 weeks of the season. So if you know how to do the piggyback starter thing, if you can go three innings, four innings, and hodgepodge that together, and I think the Red Sox have the pieces to do that. I would look at it as a good, the fact that we're only not seeing Chris Sale for 12 starts, not 32, kind of feels like a win. Same with Mookie, really. You know, I mean, if it was 162 games of where's Mookie, there's only 2 months of where's Mookie. It's 60 games. You're also allowing the two newcomers here, and I know they won't replace a David Price and a Mookie Betts, but when Alex Verdugo and Colin McHugh get out there and start playing immediately, that's a good thing. We don't have to wait for them to come along. We probably would have had to do that if opening day was really on April 1st because they would not have been ready. The expanded rosters, 30 to start, right? Then 28 players after 2 weeks. That allows the Sox to get some extended looks at some of these depth pieces. I'm excited about that. The Rule 5 pick, Jonathan Arauz, is he capable of holding his spot right now? I guess we get to find out. And bottom line, this offense with Xander, Endeavors, J.D. Martinez, it's still strong enough to carry the team, even if the pitching is not great. And considering how hitters are usually ahead of pitchers when things get going, it wouldn't be a surprise, especially since we're starting in warm weather, if there's this big offensive spike all across Major League Baseball. And if it's going to be an offensive league, the Red Sox kind of have the ability to outscore everybody, even without Mookie around. That's the good stuff, in my opinion. There's bad stuff, too. Obviously, there's bad stuff in a pandemic. I'm looking at the schedule. It's tough. I mean, 32 out of 60 games are against teams that were in the playoffs last year. Yankees, Rays, Braves, and Nationals. And you're talking about 12 more games against the Mets and Phillies, who are very good. The only lousy teams are the Orioles and Marlins that you're playing here. You know, long-term, the universal implementation of the DH, that means J.D. Martinez could have a huge year. That opt-out might look more attractive to him. That's, to me, a bad thing if you're a Red Sox fan. Also, the fact that the 16-team playoff wasn't adopted, I and the Red Sox would have easily made a 16-team field. I don't know about the 10. They're going to have to hustle. 33-27 probably gets you in the playoffs this year. Are the Red Sox a 33-win team? I mean, a 31-win, 30-win team? Makes it. You know, you got to find a couple extra wins here somehow. So one more bad one that I'll give you. If you were going to try to do the hodgepodge thing a lot, and Chaim Bloom, the new GM, remember, in Tampa Bay, it was all about the shuttle between Tampa Bay and Durham all the time. Are you really going to be shuttling in and out? We're not in a bubble. This is not the NBA. Do you really want to bring more bodies in and complicate things? I mean, that could be a catastrophe. To me, the fewer bodies around, the better. I don't know if Chaim Bloom is going to get to do his Chaim Bloom thing fully in 2020. Might have to wait for 2021 on that. So that's my take of what's good and what's bad as we get set to finally hit the start button. It's not even the restart button. To me, it's just the start button. But Joe Castiglione ready for his 38th year with the Red Sox. And he has been very eager, I would imagine, to get things started. You know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, Let's Get It Started was one of the big anthems of 2004. Black Eyed Peas, that was a very popular song and what ended up being a very popular year for the Red Sox. So as we all sit around thinking about Let's Get Things Started, I love bringing on Joe C. to just talk a little baseball right now. The sound quality won't be great. We recorded it over the phone. We're not next to each other right now, so I think we're all going to have to get used to that for the next couple of months. A lot of interviews that would have sounded fine are not going to sound so great since we're not standing next to each other. But it's still Joe Castiglione. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, as promised, the great Joe Castiglione in his 38th season in the Red Sox booth, only one of them was he saddled with me as a cohort. And congratulations, Joe, for surviving that. Congratulations for getting through the pandemic best you can. What have you and Jan been doing? Take me through it.
Well, we had a lot of fun last year, biking and kayaking in Lake Union. But as Jan and I have done a lot of biking, and I take my granddaughter out for workouts because she's a softball player. Their season actually will resume before Major League Baseball does. They'll play their first game next week. So we've tried to fill the time, but there's a big void without baseball, and thankfully, virus permitting, we'll get it back soon.
The biggest question I have for you, Joe, is when you go to Shaw's for strawberries, are you wearing a mask?
I am indeed, for sure. I wear the gloves to go in, and Shaw's is wonderful. Everybody wears a mask. You come out, and they have a receptacle where you can drop your used gloves as you return your carts. And they make it so much easier. And I've been doing all of our shopping by giving Jan a break from that with all the time I have.
I can't tell you what a thrill it is to be talking Shaw's with you right now. It just feels normal, you know. And I think that's, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast here, Joe, just the return to a shred of normalcy, to just have a little bit of comfort food, I think is so important. What's that going to look like for you and the rest of the broadcast crew? Where are you guys going to be broadcasting from?
Well, as of now, but of course, everything is subject to change with the virus and conditions, but we will do every game from our booth at Fenway Park. We will do home games, of course, in the booth, and away games we will do off a TV monitor. It could possibly be from the center field studio for the away games, or it could be in the booth. That remains to be seen. But we'll be at Fenway Park for both. And we'll not be traveling. I'm sure the Red Sox and all major league clubs are really restricting those who go on charter flights and are part of the team traveling party.
For sure. So you've basically got 60 home games this year. You never have to file an expense report. That's kind of clutch.
Yeah, but all those drives through Boston traffic.
No, that's true. You can stay at the Hotel Commonwealth and see what happens from there.
Yeah, good.
I'm glad to hear that. Hey, what about some of the new on-field rules, Joe? How are you looking forward to kind of wading through all that? I mean, the runner at second base to start out in extra innings, the universal DH. What are your thoughts on that stuff?
Well, I think it's time for the universal DH. I think that's a good move. Of course, the players have to be happy. It creates another job. I do like the three-batter rule for relievers because sometimes those games just come to a halt when the managers bring in the lefty to face the lefty, and one batter later the righty comes in to face the right-hand hitter. I have not been a big proponent of starting a runner at second base in the 10th inning on the long run, but I think for the short run, for this season, given all that has happened and, still the threat of the virus, causing more havoc, I think it is a good idea because you're going to need all the arms you could get. I know they'll have 2.5 to 3 weeks of training, but still, you're not going to have very deep pitching performances. And I think, you know, 17 or 18 in a game would really tax a pitching staff. And while it may not be a permanent thing, I'll accept it for this year.
You know, it dawns on me, Joe, in terms of your day-to-day prep. Yes, you've had an extra 3.5 months to, quote-unquote, get ready for a season. But once it gets going, you've seen that there's a pool of 60 players that not only the Red Sox will be able to dip into, but every opponent. So I know it's only 9 opponents this year because of how they've got it meted out here. You don't have to worry about prepping the Mariners this year or anything like that. But what does that do in terms of your preparation, getting ready for this new world order?
Well, I think preparation was, for the Red Sox, certainly was done in spring training. We did have maybe 15 games. I did 9 of the broadcasts. And, you know, we know our squad pretty well, and nothing really has changed. You know, the challenge will be, I think, preparing for the Mets and Washington clubs we haven't seen in recent days. But, you know, with the geographical proximity, you do read a lot about them, and I don't think it'll be a great challenge. You know, I think for some the challenge will be doing games with no fans in the stands and no crowd reaction. I think that will be a bit of an adjustment, although calling the actual play, I don't think will be, because, you know, as you know, Josh, when you do play-by-play, you're zoned in on following the ball as it leaves the pitcher's hand and the ball is put into play. You describe the action. I think you'll notice it more in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath, if somebody hits a home run. There's no crowd to let tell the story, and that will be the adjustment.
Have you guys talked about piping in some ambient noise, or how do you think that's going to go?
We have, and I understand Major League Baseball may do that to all parts, whether, you know, it's the effects off TV. But I think it will happen, and I've talked to some sound experts who feel they've heard it in the Korean games, and they think it works, as long as it's not, you know, overdone. If it's low in volume, then it may sound authentic, even though there is no crowd there. But who knows, maybe if things do improve, and Sam Kennedy mentioned the possibility of having fans in the stands later in the season. So we'll see. But I think the crowd noise would be okay.
Joe, you mentioned the word authentic, and I'm intrigued by that because one of the things that makes your broadcast so enjoyable is that air of authenticity. You've talked to the players by the batting cage. You've rolled through the clubhouse and talked to the managers and the coaches. You're not going to be able to do that this year. Playing off of something that happens in the stands. Now, well, there's nothing happening in the stands this year. So, you know, from that respect, and even just doing a game off a monitor, I don't know when the last time you've had to do that even is, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the last time I did off a monitor when I was young and practicing and hoping to get to this point. So I think that will be certainly an adjustment. It probably means more reading on the internet. We will have, I would hope, access at least to the manager every day to tape the manager's show before the game. So that'll give us some insight. And we hope to be able to have players at least post-game because we don't have to do it face-to-face. We have remote microphones set up in or near the clubhouse. But you're not going to have the everyday batter. You're not going to have the time on the planes and the buses and the hotels to do that. So I think there'll just be a lot more reading. And, you know, you will miss some things, too. You'll miss some of the personal anecdotes that just happen to come up because you're in their presence. So that will, I think, make it a little bit more difficult. But to have baseball in any form is still wonderful after the drought we've had.
No question about it. And not to be cynical about it, because I'm hoping it all goes off without a hitch. But I was saying on the podcast last week, having talked to Ken Singleton a little bit, you know, his concern, and the more I thought about it, I kind of agree, is every team's got one knucklehead, right? I mean, and sometimes they got 10. all it takes is one guy to run afoul of these protocols and say, you know, I'm going to have a bunch of friends over, or I'm going to go to a bar. I mean, are you concerned at all about that, not just for the Red Sox, but in general, that, you know, it just takes one little slip-up and this whole thing might get compromised?
Well, certainly you see what's happened in Florida, the beaches and Texas and bars and that type of thing. I would hope that all players would take on the responsibility, not only for themselves, but especially for their teammates, to see the damage that they can do that way. I think players will, for the most part, police themselves. There's always a danger that you'll have one or two who won't. But I think players are really prone to peer pressure, and I think that will help them curtail those type of activities. At least I would hope they would, and we won't get into any crisis situation.
Hey, Joe, before you go, I want to have a little bit of fun with you here. It wouldn't be a conversation with you if Rich Hill's name didn't come up. So he would have been on the injured list to start the season, but it looks like now with 3.5 months off, he's good to go with the Twins. Have you talked to Rich Hill lately, proud New Englander?
I've had some texts with him, and we did talk 3-4 weeks ago on the phone. And Rich is ready to go. He continued. He came home from Fort Myers with the Twins train, sharing the town with the Red Sox, and continued the work with his shoulder expert and his elbow expert. So he's ready to go, and you know, it works out well for him. Probably works out well, too, for the likes of Aaron Judge, some of the Yankees who were questionable, Aaron Hicks and the like. There will be no soft touches, but we won't face Rich, because at least till postseason, if then.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you mentioned the Yankees, and it dawns on me that this was coming up on. I mean, we would have started talking right about now about Hall of Fame inductions. I mean, that would have been this summer, and Derek Jeter, not to mention Ted Simmons, Larry Walker, and of course, let's not forget the late Nick Cofardo, all were to have gone in. So I know that's going to be delayed. We'll see them in class of 2021 instead of 2020. But that's just one of those things that just kind of dawned on me, that we're just, you know, All-Star games, another one. We're just going to miss some big baseball things this summer.
Yes, indeed. You feel bad about the Hall of Fame. I actually am thinking about going up there. They just opened last Friday. And John Szczepanski, former Red Sox media relations assistant, who's the head PR guy at the Cooperstown, says they're getting about 150 to 315 people a day since Friday. So that's a good sign that people are coming back to the Hall of Fame. I think all those tournaments up there have been canceled, as most tournaments have. But, you know, it's gonna be a different summer without the All-Star game, certainly. That was always something you look forward to. Sometimes for the 3 or 4 days off, and other times because personal interest involved in people you know in the game, or, of course, in 99 when the Red Sox hosted the game. But, again, it's all part of what we've gone through, and to have baseball back in any form is wonderful.
All right, last one for you. In honor of your, I mentioned it's your 38th year at the Red Sox, but it is your 40th year in baseball. So I want to have some fun with you here for just a moment. I want you to do me a favor. Pick a number between 1 and 40, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay, let's see.
What number did Daubak wear?
23. And
all right. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to your 23rd season, okay, which would have been 2005. And now I'm going to pick alphabetically the 23rd player that comes up. And I want you to tell me what you remember about this guy. You ready? It is, drum roll. Yeah, Red Sox. This is on the 85 Red Sox. I'm picking the 23rd guy on the roster, since you picked number 23 for your 23rd year. The 23rd player alphabetically is Dave McCarty. So go. Tell me what you remember about Dave McCarty.
Dave McCarty, Stanford product, batted right and threw left. and was actually part of the 04 World Championship Club. He actually pitched opening day, the home opener of 2004. It was sort of embarrassing for the Red Sox that they had to go to a position player in the home opener, which they lost in a blowout. And as a result, my good friend Brian Dalbach was farmed out to Pawtucket because they had to bring up an extra pitcher the next day. But Dave's a very classy guy, very bright guy. His wife is a lawyer. In fact, was a student of a longtime Red Sox fan and a longtime baseball arbiter, Bill Gould, at Stanford Law. And I believe David has been in a business out there, maybe renovating homes out in the Bay Area. But he was a great guy. It was great to think about him again.
This is exactly why I wanted you on. You know, we could do a podcast doing just that game we just played and probably sell a million copies, so to speak. And by the way, good for you for not picking a guy like Matt Parrishow or Blaine Neal.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the rest of the roster here because I don't know if you could have done a deep dive on those guys or not. Alejandro Machado was on that team. Adam Stern was on that team. But good job. You got McCourty, and that was perfect.
Adam Stern, a Canadian left-hand hitter, later was a scout for the Red Sox.
See, this is why everybody loves Joe Z. This is fantastic stuff. Joe, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us. And I know, speaking for every Red Sox fan, just so happy that not only that you're back and everybody else, I mean, I didn't even get into congratulating Will Fleming. He'll be doing a lot of the games with you. Hopefully we'll hear some Sean McDonough. We'll hear some Lou. It's going to be a great broadcast again. But just so great to hear your voice and great to catch up with you. Thank you, my friend. And please stay safe and give our best to Jan, too.
Thank you very much, Josh. We had a lot of fun last year, and our best to your lovely bride, Stacy. We think of those trips to London and the Kew Gardens and all the other great activities we had throughout the season last year.
We had a blast with you guys, too. Thanks, Joe.
All right, that'll pretty much wrap things up here for Episode 261 on Red Sox Beat. Many, many thanks to Joe Castiglione. Thanks to you guys for hanging in. What's been a very weird last few episodes. In fact, probably the last 13 episodes. Not just weird, but sad. Here we are, ready to get going again. I'm looking forward to it. I sure hope you are as well. This is Josh Lewin. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's Red Sox Beat from CLNS.